This has not been the best of weeks. To say that this has not been the best of weeks is an understatement. From time to time, we plan, we have daily Bible readings, we are intentional, I would hope and pray, about what we do here in the big room on Sunday after Sunday. Every once in a while, we take a pause and need to deviate. So that's what I'm going to ask you to do with me this morning, is to do just that. Not that the Sermon on the Mount, the closing verses of Matthew 7 are not important, because they are. They have a direct bearing upon what we do each and every day as we live, but from time to time there are pressing matters in the life of our church that we need to address, and this is one of those times. It's not been the best of weeks in the life of our church for one main reason, and that is because we reduced our staff this week. Many of you may be aware of this. We tried to be very transparent. We tried to get the message out, the news out, quickly, and church-wide email went out. Some of you may not read your church-wide email. It may come along with other messages that appear to be junk, but I can promise you that nothing you ever receive from your church is junk. It's always important. But just in case you were not aware or the news did not get to you, we did reduce our staff this week. Four choice people in our church congregation were affected by this, and their families. Linda Franklin serves as our Assistant to Financial Services Coordinator, and her position was reduced and eliminated this week, along with Jeffrey Foster, who is our Associate Student Minister, as well as Missy Eiley, our Associate Music Minister, and Jen Shelby, our Communication and Worship Arts Ministry Assistant. The most important word that I think I could say following just the idea of those four positions, the people that fill those positions, and the elimination of those positions, is to be very clear that this had nothing to do with performance. It was not punitive. It was not something done as a way of getting someone's agenda fulfilled one way or the other. It was solely a matter of the situation that we face in our church today, that we're in the midst of a pandemic, COVID-19, coronavirus, whatever you want to call it. But in these days, it has, in a sense, caught up with us. I have been doing what I do for 45 years this month, almost graduating from college, almost to become a married person. I served a little church, Oak Grove Convention Baptist Church in Austin, Arkansas, October of 1975. From there, I've gone to serve other churches. But in those 45 years of doing what I do, I have never faced what we faced this past week. And I'm not saying that I am the only one. I'm talking about the fact that from the perspective of ministering and working within a church family, this is the first time that we've been pushed to this limit in having to reduce our staff. For some, this is no surprise to you because of your occupation, because this has happened, and I understand that it happens day in and day out, and I understand all those things. I simply come back to say that the action we had to take this week was solely based upon where we are financially, where we are in participation numbers in our church, though that is not ever to be the main reason, but that certainly played a part of that decision. Beyond that, there is a question, really a couple of questions. What caused this? In other words, yes, we know ultimately we can call it a pandemic. And most of us never have lived through a pandemic. If you live through a pandemic, you're approaching 100 years of age. And probably that pandemic of what was called the Spanish flu is one that you don't remember, but we all are living within a pandemic, a time where choices are hard, where we don't know if we're doing the right thing or not. So what is causing, what precipitated this over these last months? Because the strange and amazing thing is as we closed out last year, the calendar of last year, we were riding a high. We had a record-giving season in the life of our church. Just opened up months before a brand new addition to minister to children and their families and remodeling student space as well. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves in this situation. So what caused it? Well, some people in our church have lost their jobs as well. And those who have been affected by layoffs or reduction in force measurements have found that they're not able to give as perhaps they used to give or desire to give. And I certainly, we understand that. So that plays into this issue. But not only that, we just have a lot of people in our church that just flat out don't give or don't give faithfully. Some of you give much like if someone just reminds you of something, it's almost like you're paying a tip at a restaurant and very little thought to it. Long gone are the days when we have committed families who understand and know what sacrificial giving is really all about. So just to be honest with you, part of the reason that has brought us to this place as a church is we have a lot of people who belong to us who don't support the work of God through tithes and offerings. They don't give faithfully. That's an ongoing issue for someone in the ministry. For me as a pastor, on one hand, you don't want to be accused of harping on money all the time. On the other hand, you don't want to be derelict and irresponsible in trying to teach people what it means to give. Then we have to face the fact that some of our folks have left us in these months. They've left us, best I can tell, because we closed the church for 6 months. There may be a smaller number who on the other side of this issue have left us because they felt that we opened up too soon. I'm not sure what to do with that. On one hand, we're not trusting God and we're not opening up the building and letting God protect us from whatever COVID is, if it's real. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you got those who are thinking we've done too much too soon. Some folks who are part of our online congregation now are people who have told me, and I can't fault them for it, Stephen, I'm not going to be back in the big room. I'm not going to be back walking the halls of the church until there's a vaccine and I've received that vaccine. In other words, I can't be here under those circumstances. And amen, I understand. But it simply goes to the fact that there have been more than a handful of our families who have left us. I can't help but think that a national election before us has driven a lot of fear in many of us. There are some people who what they want in a church, what they want pounded from the pulpit is nothing but politics. And that's just not going to happen here. For some, that issue is crystal clear. It's just no debate. And for others, politics is multifaceted. And that's why it doesn't belong here. Secular politics do not belong in the life of the church. And I've said it once, and I'll say it again. We have to remember, God is not a Democrat. He's not a Republican. He's not an independent. God is God. He is in charge. But at the same time, I recognize that a lot of tension and a lot of church hopping, if you will, is based upon nothing more than what we're all afraid of. If whatever happens in just a matter of a few weeks. So what caused this? Those are just a few of my thoughts. But there's another question. Does this mean this reduction of staff, this action, once again, against four people who are near and dear to me, who are part of our family, does this mean that we're not going to be offering ministry for children and students? To that, I just need to say absolutely not. No, that's not what it means. Folks, if you remember, there was a time in the life of our church when a lot of the ministries we have in the life of our church were led by volunteers, by you. And as we grew, and once again, when I came here 28 years ago, there was a minister of music, there was a student minister, there was a preschool children's minister, and there was an education minister. Four people, and I think we had three or four ministry assistants. Now when we're gathered around the staff table, it's more than 20, almost 25 of us. And it's heartbreaking as it is that circumstances have led it to where we have got to tighten up. And part of that is not just reducing ministry budgets, though we have done that time and time again. And that's usually all, the only thing I was ever afraid of is we always talked about we'd have to reduce this or cut this or cut that. But we've never had to. Not like this. But it does not mean that we're not conscious of families and children and students. It may well mean that in these times, we're really going to see the church. We've been talking about that in our rationale for closing down our church for those 6 months. And what was it we tried to say over and over again? I hope you heard it. That the church is not a building. The church is not just a big room. The church is the people. And when the people are gathered, that's where church is. And so maybe this is just one of those times when we're going to see our church. We're going to see what's really important to us. And we're going to find a way. We're going to step up in so many ways. I got a text Friday from Ruby Williamson. Brad Williamson, our executive pastor, has been battling a glioblastoma, which is, in other words, for a very serious brain cancer. We pray for him. It's been months. He's now at home on full hospice care. Ruby wrote me Friday. Her text said this: "Hey, sounds like you had a very rough day at church yesterday. Stephen, please stop paying Brad's salary immediately. I am totally serious. The church has been more than genuine to us. I am sorry the church is facing such hard decisions. I knew giving had to be affected during these times of pandemic. Brad would want you to stop paying him to help his church." In 1942, Britain was being attacked time and time again by the Nazi regime in Germany. Winston Churchill, their prime minister, he's been quoted over and over and over again in all situations. You want to know what his most famous quote was, as far as I'm concerned? It was in 1942, after Britain had been decimated time and time again with German bombers. And they finally had a military initiative across the northern part of Africa, and they pushed the Germans back past Egypt. They had some semblance of a victory. And Winston Churchill said this about that. He said, "This is not the end. It is not even the beginning of the end. But it is perhaps the end of the beginning. Listen to that again. This is not the end. And I say, that's right. This is not the end. We face challenges ahead. It's not even the beginning of the end. Nobody knows where this is all going to end up. This pandemic, this virus, this having to wear these and separate people because of these. It's not even the beginning of the end, but it is perhaps the end of the beginning. Maybe we've made some steps. Maybe we're waking up. Maybe God is trying to shake us. But now, there are four dear people who I imagine understand exile. For we all experience it, do we not? Exile in seasons of life. Exile is defined by one person. Exile is any time you feel removed from the familiar, disenfranchised from what made you feel secure, and banished from the stability you once felt. COVID, these days we're living, certainly make many of us feel that way. So what can we do? Got to remember that exile, our exile spiritually in the big picture, has an ending. God is in control. There is no doubting that. And our exile will have that ending, that favorable ending. But we're in the midst of other things right now. So I ask us to be patient. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with yourself. These days are frightening. These days are unsettling. So not only be patient with yourself, but be patient with others. Be patient with other people around you. Try to understand where they're coming from. And then most of all, and this one sounds a little strange, be patient with God. You go, well, wait a minute. No. God's supposed to be the one. Yeah, I understand all that. We worship and adore him. And we are gathered together and we're here because of him. And he created us and he loves us. But there are times, and these times call for it, when we've got to understand and we've got to be patient with the God who does love us, who did create us, who knows what's best for us. Be patient with God. Those closing verses of this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this, just listen. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, they may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. You know, there was a part of me that just wants to focus on, I'm standing on the rock of Jesus, and we all are. And that doesn't mean we're not going to feel exiled. It doesn't mean we're not going to be fearful. It doesn't mean we're not going to experience the ups and downs and whatever it is that's remaining in this season of pandemic. But it does remind us that it doesn't matter those things. If our lives are built upon the rock of Jesus, we will get through. I call us to prayer. Just right now in your own prayer, give thanks. Thanks for this day. Thanks for the gift of life. Thanks for the presence of God who created us, who loves us, who knows what's best for us. I want you to focus your prayers upon Linda Franklin. I want you to focus your prayers upon Missy Eiley. I want you to focus your prayers upon Jen Shelby. I want you to focus your prayers upon Jeffrey Foster. Pray God's comfort and blessing upon them and their families in these days. I want to ask you to focus your prayers on Brad and Ruby Williamson. And pray for comfort. Pray for a soft landing for Brad. Now I want you to focus your prayers upon yourself, not selfishly, but just pray that in your own life you'll be encouraged today. That you won't be fearful. That you'll move forward with your eyes wide open and focused upon the cross. Focus your prayers upon our nation, upon a world that seems to be spinning out of control. Father, we come before you. We kneel before you. We ask why. We don't understand. So, Father, we do come before you just to say, hear us, bless us, help us to obey, and bring us through these times. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus, our Christ, our Messiah, that we offer these prayers. And all God's people said, amen. Could well be that there are people in this very room who have important spiritual decisions that are right before them. Could be you're here today and you've never asked Jesus the Christ to come into your life, to forgive your sin, to lead you and to guide you. We're not going to be able to have that come down the aisle invitation to where we can discuss those things with you. But as we dismiss, we will have an opportunity for you to touch base with a minister in our church. So while the band closes us out with this song, if following Jesus is what you want to do, if becoming a part of a church like ours, you can tell by what I've said, being completely transparent, we're not a perfect church by any means. But we are a church. And we invite you to join with us if that's what God's leading you to do. And then, for most of us, it's just, what do we do next? Where do the next steps take us? Lead us, Lord. Lead us.